why we didn't let them watch Sesame Street. We knew what these Muppets acted like off camera. No, I'm sorry, you can't watch that. Turn the channel. So what do? When you have Jesus, our model, the author and finisher of our faith, hanging out with sinners, but you have passages like Proverbs 13:20 that says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. What do you do with that? How do you say, go hang out with sinners, and by the way, the companion of fools will be destroyed? How do you reconcile that? What do you do with that? I think the answer to the question is this. You have to ask, when you see that situation, you have to ask, who is following who? Or whom? I don't know. Ian, what's the... Whom? First or second? Second, thank you. I'm one of those guys, you know, 1 Corinthians, that, you know, didn't do good in school. You know, not many wise. Thank you. Who is following whom? Who is following whom? In our passage today, in Mark chapter 2, verse 15, it says that as he was dining in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they did what?
They followed him.
They followed him. He had multitudes, and particularly tax collectors and people of ill repute, following him. So if you're hanging around with worldly people and you want to be a light to them, you want to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to ask yourself the question, who is following whom? As I am doing this and I'm spending time with them and I'm reaching out, as I look at my life, am I becoming more like them or are they becoming more like Christ? As I am following them, am I starting to use language like them and talk like them and profane like them? Am I starting to adopt their values and their spending habits and their entertainment values? Am I buying the things they're buying, spending money on the things they're spending money on, entertaining myself and spending time with the things that entertain them? Am I talking like them? Am I trying to look like them? Am I still coming together with God's people to worship Him and be a functioning, fruitful member of the body of Christ? Am I more on fire for Jesus now than before I started hanging out with them? It's an honest question. Who is following whom? Because if not, then most likely you are following them. And that is a choice that leads to disaster. On the other hand, are they following you? Are they starting to clean up their act? Are they starting to feel uncomfortable by saying those same things they used to say, telling those same jokes they used to tell around you? Are they apologizing if they slip? Are they asking you questions about life and eternity and God? Do you see them searching in their souls? Why are you different? Do they want to be like you? Are they coming to church? Girl from Henderson, I guess she couldn't make it today, but normally that second row was filled up. Because although she lives in a town, in a little place near Delaware that is literally rampant with drugs and crime and alcoholism and suicide and dysfunction and gangs, these people follow her and ask her to bring them to church. And I have seen hard men come in this church because something about her drew them and they wanted to come and find out what it was that made her tick. Are they coming to church? Are some of them, are any of them getting saved? Are they getting baptized? Have they come down and said, yes, I want to be identified with Christ. Put me in the water. Are they getting filled with the Holy Spirit? Have any of them started having prayer meetings with you and said, hey, after the game, let's go hang out and pray together? Or hey, when we get back from shopping, you know, let's just spend a little time in the Word together. Man, I have this passage that's really, you know, bothering me. I need you to shed some light on it for me. Who is following whom? Because if they are following you as you follow Christ, they can become mighty men and women of God, regardless of where they came from, regardless of how their past is, how dark it is, how shameful, how ugly, how hard, how brutal it was. They are the very candidates, according to Scripture, that can become mighty men and women of God. If you will simply have the courage to lead them, to be filled with His Spirit and take your stand and show them what it means to be a man or a woman of God. Because the Bible says there is a beauty in holiness. Holiness is not stuffy. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It radiates. It has power. And it's attractive. David had his own group of mighty men. That's what they call them in the Bible, mighty men. Guess where they came from? The dregs. The dregs. David was running for his life in the wilderness. I mean, he said, I'm a footstep away from death. When King Saul was following hard after him, trying to kill him. He was hiding out in caves and places in the wilderness, and he met up with some folks. I'll close with this. 1 Samuel 22. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, distressed and in debt and discontented, gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Good candidates. I'm serious, man. I'm serious. Good candidates. They were distressed. You know what that means? They had come to the end of themselves. They had tried everything and it wasn't working, and they could not escape the jam they were in. They were hemmed about on right and left and front and behind, and everything they tried was useless, and they come to the end of their own strength, and they knew they needed somebody bigger than them to pull them out of that jam. They were in debt. They owed a debt they could not pay. They owed a debt for things they had done that could not be undone, and they did not have the wherewithal to make it good. They were discontented. And I'm not talking about a whiny, spoiled attitude that no matter how much you get, you're never satisfied. I'm talking about a heart that has seen a glimpse of what can be, and it's hungry for more, and it just won't be satisfied any longer with the status quo. They were in a state of holy discontent. Something inside of them said, there's got to be more! Because I've tasted it, I've caught a glimpse, and I'm forever ruined for it. And I will not rest, and I cannot be satisfied until I lay a hold of that thing. And yes, they were absolutely perfect candidates for the kingdom of God. They were considered a ragtag bunch of followers, literally a motley crew. But when David got involved and shared his life with theirs, they did heroic military exploits. They became heroes. They did things other people only dreamed about doing because of the grace of God that was with them. And because a man like David decided he would share and invest his life into them. And he wasn't looking for the noble. He wasn't looking for the wise. He wasn't looking for the celebrities. He says, God, I'll take these. They're yours. These are the ones that I want to be identified with. And they became known as David's mighty men. These men would lay down their life in a heartbeat, in the blink of an eye, for David. And would enjoy the privilege of doing it. Bottom line is this: God is not out to build a church that is respectable in the eyes of the world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. God is not out to build a church that is respectable in the eyes of the world. He's out to build a church that is holy. He's out to build a church that loves Him with utter reckless abandon, that will follow Him and pursue Him no matter how high or deep or wide the cost, that will not be denied, that will lay down their life and die if necessary to lay a hold upon the things of God and the heart of God. And that's the church that I want to build too. That's the people I want to be identified with. If I'm known on this earth as being undignified and quirky and strange, that's okay. But if I am known in heaven and in hell as being a man who pursues God with absolute relentless abandon, that's what I want to be known as. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray that we would pursue You, Lord, that we would throw aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we would cast aside everything from the most useless piece of junk that clutters up our lives to the most priceless treasures we have, and just lay them at Your feet and say, God, You are worthy of my all in all. Help me, God. Give me grace, God. Give me the power and capacity to follow You the way You've called me to follow You. And don't let me fall short in any way, shape, or form. God, make me David. Make me a fool for Christ. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world. Thank You, Lord.